if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello and indeed ahoy hoy, ladies and gentlemen. It's a fantastic episode number. It's episode 321 of BRB UK. I just did the hand signal because I'm a legend. And we're back to full strength. I'm Dan, one of your hosts. That's Timothy.
Hello.
And new phone, who dis?
Hi.
Nope. Tim, any ideas?
Oh.
I don't know.
No.
I can't. There was you and me on the show, and then there was this other
some
dude.
Some secret agent bloke. Who
disappeared.
Couldn't talk about anything.
On top secret. Oh.
No.
I've said too much.
Who are you?
Me, Coleman. Tired.
Who? No, never heard of you.
Me, Coleman.
Me, Coleman. Tired.
Me, Coleman. Me, podcast.
Tired. He's jet lagged from
hello, Coleman.
Coming around the world.
What exciting things have you been doing that you can't tell us about?
I can't tell you.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Well, it was great chat. Great chat. Great chat, Coleman. Great chat.
Hey guys, two more days till Smash Brothers.
Oh wait, no. Still not giving much of a.
Okay. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast on the day it releases, then one more day till Smash Brothers.
Yeah, well, I mean, it looks like the kind of thing I'd happily dip my toe into the water of, but I'm just you're not going to get it for a good price anywhere.
Yeah.
No. Nintendo games don't come down in price.
No, especially a Smash Brothers game. But Diablo 3 has been tickling my fun bits on my Switch anyway, so I'm quite happy with that. Yes. So we ought to get into the news, I suppose.
It's probably worth noting as well that we're recording a day early, which means the podcast has come out a day early, which also means that we are ahead of the Video Game Awards, which are recording on the 6th this year. And that means we're going to be missing out on the announcements and the results that we probably would be talking about otherwise. So.
Yes, but and it also means that I had originally earmarked this evening that we were recording to actually get some more hands-on time with the Destiny 2 expansion, but alas. Alas.
Well, it meant we had the three of us, so
I'm already getting the withdrawal symptoms. It's is it though? Is it?
Well, we'll breeze through so you can get back to your Destiny-ing and go hang around with all your good buddies like Cade Six and...
He's dead. He's dead,
no!
Coleman. Jesus Christ, Coleman!
I forgot!
He's still warm! He's still warm! For God's sake, have some respect.
He's not dead. I saw him in Birmingham.
No, that was Clyde Six. Anywho, good news!
Good news.
A study has been done, and that study has shown that that girls are playing more games, which is great. They've asked 5,000 children about the video games, and apparently they're increasingly popular with teenage girls. It's almost as if, and stop me if I'm wrong here, it's like they're part of popular culture.
Exactly right. One weird thing about this, because this is something you sent on to me, Tim. This is an article from the Guardian, and I tried intensive studies into finding out who does these independent studies where they go around talking to 5,000 children on if they like video games or not, and I have yet to find out who actually conducted this study. So there you go. Take that for what you will.
But I think it's great that the gender divide is ever reducing. In terms of who feels enabled to enjoy video games. I think that the moral of the story is, if you find something that you enjoy, doesn't matter who you are, just do it. Doesn't matter.
There's a few exceptions to that rule, Dan.
Like what?
If you like murdering people.
Within reason.
Oh, for God's sakes, Tim.
Kind of state these things these days. Can't just give people, free reign to do what they want.
If people are basing such decisions on what the waffle I say, I think, frankly, it's, that ship has already sailed.
Dan said,
frankly,
if I wanted to go on a murdering spree and kill loads of people, it was absolutely fine.
Good. But all I'm saying is that if you did want to be a murdering psychopath, the fact that you are one gender or another shouldn't really matter. If that's something... It shouldn't influence your decision about whether or not you want to be a serial killing psychopath.
I guess, fair enough. I don't know how this got on to wanting more female serial killers somehow.
Because of you, Timothy, that's why.
I hunted a female serial killer in Red Dead Redemption. So that ties it back into games.
Good. I had cereal well this morning.
Well done, you.
There you go. I you listened to a podcast back called in. Cereal once.
Did you? Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Good chat, boys. Good chat.
No, it's good that gender bias is shrinking and all that kind of stuff. That's great. And yeah, it's just one of those things. I mean, like, my little brother used to play with dollies when he was a young boy, and I'm sure he will love me telling you that on the podcast.
Yeah, but if it makes him happy, it's all right. How is Portsmouth's premier serial killer?
Little brother is not a serial killer. Don't start spreading that around.
Okay, will do. Okay, sorry, Cole.
Lives in Slough anyway.
What?
What?
No, seriously.
What? He lives in Langley.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. Is he that weird hermit who lives in the roundabout?
My little brother is not a weird hermit. Stop this.
He lives in a roundabout and plays with dolls.
Yeah, well, all right. Okay, you got him there.
Anywho, well, just as long as he gets to live his best life, that's all I care about.
Good, good.
Be you, Coleman Jr.
Coleman Jr. Actually, he is Coleman Jr.
Is he?
What's
so he's your son?
No, he's my dad's son, you idiot.
He's your son and your
Coleman's
brother.
Coleman's my last name.
No, he's your son and your brother.
That's not
Is that what you're saying?
No, he's my brother.
Right.
He's the junior. I'm the normal.
I have a question.
What?
Is he or is he not heavy?
I mean, he's bigger than me, so yeah, he's probably quite heavy.
Right. So even that doesn't work. He is heavy. He's my brother. Anyway, PlayStation Classic.
Oh yeah, that.
I get
that. the thing that we all went, all right, Sony's trying to cash in. It turns out, yep, Sony mega trying to cash in, doing the absolute bare minimum. But it turns out that it runs an open source emulator, is how it does its emulating. And source code for which is freely available. You can get into the debug menus, all of these things. You can turn extra emulator settings on, apparently. And all you need to do is take your PlayStation Classic Mini, plug a USB keyboard into it.
Yep.
You with me?
Yep.
You with me, Tim?
I've got this so far.
It's okay. Then press the escape key.
Wow, what a complex code to get into.
I did want to make sure Tim was with me on that one.
Oh, man, that's some Matrix shit.
It is. And then, Tim, you'll love this. There's a whole new menu for you to talk about at excruciating length.
Okay.
It's worth noting as well that you've got to use like a very bog standard old school USB keyboard. If you use a Mac one or if you use a Razer one or something, they're not going to work because they consume too much power.
Yes, because, yeah, it's...
Or require extra drivers.
Yeah, the too much wattage.
Mm. What?
Too much power.
Trying to draw so much power leads to a voltage dip, and no one likes that, do they?
No.
I don't like a voltage dip. But anyway, so features that get unlocked are toggle for scan lines to make your HDTV look like an old TV.
I hate artificial scan lines.
I know, coming over here, stealing our jobs.
Well, no, they do in the Retron, and they have different selections of scan lines if you're not quite happy with the regular ones they picked out, and they're just all rubbish.
Yeah. Unlocks access to a bunch of cheats, and also changing the region which the console's trying to emulate, but I still think you're locked into the PAL editions of the games, right?
Apparently, with Tekken 3, no. The idea... Well,
That's even stranger.
The common theory going around is that Tekken C, the NTSC version, and the PAL version are both on there because...
The what version?
The NTSC and the PAL. PAL.
What does the PAL stand
PAL,
for?
Okay. Shut up. I've only ever read it.
I'll be your PAL.
Yeah, the common theory is that they're both on there, and the idea was to leave the PAL version as the regular one to use because that's the one that already has the multiple languages baked into it, whereas the NTSC version doesn't. But that meant then playing the PAL version, which is slower and missing a little bit of content, if I remember correctly, just like cutscenes and stuff.
But people are desperately trying to just hack the snot out of this thing. have dumped the firmware and stuff.
They did a code dump.
Big old dump. Big old steaming dump of firmware is what they've done. And they're doing their best to crack this thing wide open. Hold the front page.
But hidden in that code is a bunch of game titles, so we're not sure whether these are titles that were used for the initial lineup, or if they were ones that were picked out before licenses were agreed, or if these were just for testing. At some point, these ROMs were there and then removed. We don't know. But there are a bunch of games on there that...
that didn't make it, like Tomb Raider and Tomb Raider 2.
Yeah, stuff that was surprising it was missing, like Parappa the Rapper or Tomb Raider, like you say, Medieval...
But it would make sense that they would have a load of things that they would test and then see what they could get the license for and then go from there. That would make sense.
Bearing in mind that as they've used an open source emulator on, non-proprietary hardware, they should know whether or not stuff is going to work. So they shouldn't need to test it.
Well, yeah, but it's sensible to do so anyway, no?
Yeah. But, I think it's just, I think... it could have been something so great, this little PlayStation Mini, but it's just, it's clearly been rushed to market. It's, it's a very cynical cash grab to me. I mean, you could argue that the Nintendo and SNES Mini are, it's doing the bare minimum that it has to do to be a thing. And does it feel like it's being crafted with love and attention? No, I don't think it does.
But like you said, I think we were saying last week, I think it would have been better if they'd have just re-released a PS1, as in the ONE, and stuffed that full of...
That's like PAL, Coleman,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I got you.
And stuff that full of games and that were preloaded on it, and then maybe still even have the disc drive so it plays old PlayStation games just for fun, and that would have been a better thing to release, I think.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yes, Coleman.
Mm-hmm. So I put the list of the titles that were in this source code, and are there any in there that you think would have made the collection of games better, particularly, that you would have preferred in there?
I think there are things within that would have rounded out the collection to make it seem more of a classic collection of PlayStation
games.
Personally.
Well, I like the intrigue, and I've never heard of this, but I just like the idea of it anyway, some kind of depraved chocobo, but they're Chocobo's mysterious dungeon. What does he do in that dungeon? No one knows. It's why it's mysterious.
If I remember correctly, that was a game that was meant to come out around about Final Fantasy VIII that used the memory card that had the weird LED screen in it that you could play mini games on your saves, but they never came out in the UK.
Oh, so trying to steal the Dreamcast's lunch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, which it did actually. So
it didn't, because they didn't come out in the UK or the US. They only came out in Japan.
For me, the two games there that would have really helped make it seem like a classic PlayStation thing and brought back good memories of the console for me, Gran Turismo and what was
the
other one I was thinking?
No,
not so much for me. That didn't bother me so much. There was another one.
Pack a Passion?
Street Fighter Alpha 3?
No, I'm happy with Street Fighter, but
good
actually...
good version on that.
The original Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Oh, yeah.
That's
unlockable
good shout,
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That one?
And that... I don't know. That felt very PlayStation as well, kind of thing.
Wolverine was in 2, anyway. I wanted Energize because I rented Energize once, and I've not seen it since. It was a weird kind of sprawling fighter game that had a few Final Fantasy characters in it.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you, Dan?
Me? Yeah. Well, I would have liked to, aside from, just the mystery of Chocobo's Mysterious Dungeon. I think, Gran Turismo, just to kind of almost see how far the game's gone, because I've got quite fond memories of playing out with a couple of mates back in the day when I was a mere teenager. And other than that, Silent Hill? What is Silent Hill actually on? No, Silent Hill's not on it, is it? And Suikoden as well.
Sweet. Silent Hill was on the list.
What was on the list? The original list? The list that's in it?
No, the list that's not on it. But
so it's in the list that's not on it. So it's in but not on it.
Yes.
So it's in this but not on that.
In this but not on that.
Right, okay.
PAL.
I'm really glad we cleared that up.
I'd like Street Fighter EX Plus Alpha, because I also had that game and I remember it being rubbish.
Vagrant Story would have been good to see as well, actually.
I never played Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver as well, but anyway.
Oh, I played the hell out of that game. I was rubbish at it. It was cool. A weird kind of...
Again, chaps, good chat. Good chat.
Yeah, yeah, I thought so.
Good chat. Good chat. I likes
good.
It.
Good.
Good. Lovely.
Good.
PAL.
Right, good. Sorted?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Lovely. Great. So anyway, Walking Dead's flopped. Like almost like an undead zombie, it's flopped.
You know how excited we were for Overkill's The Walking Dead to come out?
Yeah, I know.
Do you remember all that hype that went into it and all that advertising?
Yeah, a little bit.
Remember that game?
Yeah, why not?
Vaguely. Yeah. Gets hard to keep track of all the Walking Dead properties, to be honest. But
I've only seen this game I was looking in the pre-order section of the PlayStation store, and there was a black cover with white font saying Overkill's The Walking Dead.
Why they're in financial trouble, because all of their budget got dumb blown on graphic design.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah,
so they bankrupted themselves with that amazing bit of design.
This is a good idea, I thought. This is a Walking Dead game that is done in the Payday engine, where you're doing a four-player kind of survival, creating traps, stealing from rival gangs, and fighting walkers. And that sounded
being
like
a cheeky little rapscallion, basically.
Yeah, and that sounded like a great game, but I think it came out on PC a while ago and didn't really get that good of a review. Had some improvements made, came out on console, no one bought it. So,
wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, so now Starbreeze Studios, they're finding themselves in financial trouble because of that.
Oh.
Yeah. Not great.
No.
Mm.
But they filed for reconstruction, which is the Swedish equivalent to going into administration. The CEO of that company, Bo Anderson, he's now stepped down from his position, left the company, along with Christopher Arwin. And now it seems that there's been a report that the offices have been raided by the authorities and equipment's been seized and someone's been arrested in the result as well.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's as serious as it gets.
Whoa!
Yeah. That's not good. I mean, Starbreeze made some good games over the years, no?
Yeah, I mean, I never got into Payday personally, but I respected like the fan base that followed it as well. Every game show we've gone to, there's people dressed up as Payday characters. Mm. They go a bit mad on the real life version of those masks, and yeah, I've always appreciated the work they put into that game series, even though I've never really gotten into it myself.
It's one that seemed like a good idea and something I could have got into, but just never did, basically. But yeah, it's a shame to see a studio that's had a fair degree of success fall on hard times and come up, with this sort of horror story kind of thing. Mm. Not good.
I'm reading the diff list for what Sony changed from the open source code. I was just amazed at some of the lovely, there's some quite nice typos. It's not Mega Man Legends they were gonna include. It's Mega Mam Legends. So you're gonna have a Northern Mother with laser arm. Apparently, there we go. What else can I find? That amused me anyway.
So, from moving us on from the previous conversation, you've now decided to drag us back in 10 minutes in. Well,
hey,
a few
look,
minutes
Mega
into
Man.
This conversation,
Mega Mam.
You're a Mega Man.
Hey, your mum's so fat.
Don't leave my Mega Mom out of this.
Eh? So it's that is some serious sideways craziness, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Not good at all.
Well, yes. The fact that someone got arrested makes me think that shenanigans was abound, perhaps. But
yeah, well,
I reckon it was that Negan. He's a
right.
I'm presuming Negan? It's
yeah from Walking Dead.
Yeah, I'm presuming it's. Like financially, related the arresting. I don't know, but yeah, not good in any case in any way. Basically,
nope. But talking about not any good in any imaginable way, Fallout 76.
Ah, the gift that keeps
that's
on giving.
That's a link, isn't it? Last week we reported shenanigans. Canvas bag gate, I think is the way to describe it, where you paid for a canvas bag that was advertised as a canvas bag. It was so obviously going to be a canvas bag that they said, hey, we're not even going to say you get a bag, brackets canvas, we're going to call it a canvas goddamn bag, is what we're going to call it. Turns out that Bethesda have finally gone, okay, all right, bit of a dick move by us. Send us a proof of purchase. You will get some canvas bags if you bought this Power Armor edition.
There's some steps in between this, because you guys reported that the canvas bags weren't canvas bags. They were nylon bags. And
They weren't even nice nylon bags.
They were all crappy and screwed up as well. So didn't even bother to iron them before sending them out. That was nice.
Cheeky scroats.
Although they were probably that kind of cheap nylon that they would have melted against the iron. So take that for what you will.
Yeah.
What then happened is it turned out at several different events for Fallout 4, be that either gaming shows that Fallout 4 happened to be out or actual press events and what have you, they had influencers there that were given canvas bags that were meant to be in the £200 edition.
Oh, no, so they actually made them.
Yes, they'd made them. They'd given them to influencers to then go on their videos and go, hey, man, yo, it's your boy, MC Scrobbler Dobbler. Check out my canvas bag.
I got a thick Fallout 76 bag in it. It's almost as good as Fallout 69. And then, you know what I'm saying?
And then at some point they offered to give away the in-game currency to players that didn't receive their canvas bags, the atoms.
Yep.
400 atoms, yes, I think it was.
We did talk about that. They were going to give them £5 worth of crap. Yeah,
but it wasn't enough to buy the canvas bag
in the
game.
If you want
the
in-game canvas bag, it's 500. So, yeah, that, all of that. And now all this has come to light, and there's been several videos and news stories and outcry on social media and stuff. Bethesda's finally gone, fine, have your sodding canvas bags. We put in the request. They're being made. By January 31st, we should have them. As soon as they're ready, they'll be shipping out. Let us know.
That's going to cost them a lot more money now.
Yeah. Now we've got to moan about the helmets. The helmets are too small, apparently. So
are they? Yeah. Awesome.
We can.
For mounting on the intended mammal, which is the cat.
Yeah, you
surely.
Can put them on the cat. No, apparently right. they're too small for the vast majority of people's heads.
Oh,
really?
So if you have a tiny head, you're fine.
Because I must say that I always have in this festive season, which we find ourselves, I always have a problem with those paper crowns not fitting on my big old bonks.
I have an abnormally.
I have to wear mine at a jaunty angle.
I am like a Funko Pop character. I just have a large head on a smaller body.
Yep.
Tiny black eyes.
So I would be out of luck if I wanted to get my power armor on then, wouldn't I?
Yeah. Well, you've got a cat, so
it's true. Yeah. I think he'd probably try and kill me if I did that.
Also, gave him power armor.
I was
then I think he'd do quite a good Deathclaw impression if I tried to put that on his head.
Also, I was thinking about this on my way over to recording. Dan has a cat. Tim has a Halo cat helmet. Let
get your people in touch with my people. Let's make the magic happen.
Why has
happen.
This not happened yet?
Let's make this happen.
Isn't the problem with the cat helmet? It's not a proper helmet, the Halo 3 cat helmet.
It's got
there's
sharp
just,
edges
like,
inside.
The,
it's known to decapitate cats.
It basically it takes the kind of the edition of the game and then it slots on top of the plastic thing that houses that, so there's not that much room in the helmet basically.
Right. So it's a full metal Johnny is what you're saying?
No.
Could you fit a Pip-Boy edition wrist thing inside the helmet?
No.
Okay. Tat section.
But you can fit a Pip-Boy edition in a bin, which is arguably the optimum storage device for it.
In exchange for a Switch.
Sell it to
a
computer store, which they still have it.
I haven't been in there for a while. Nice.
I walked past the other day, they've still got it in the window. You could give me, knock 10 quid off the price for that, and you can shift that for like a good 50 quid, I bet you.
Mate, about still Fallout 76 is driving the price of that down every day. But
I'm tempted to go in there and buy it, give it back to you.
Just wrap it up for Christmas.
Just to spite you, Tim.
Oh, well.
it's like a really shit boomerang. It just keeps on coming back, no matter what you want. Try to get rid of it. Anyway.
That's Bethesda. That's your weekly Bethesda wrap-up.
Yeah, so no doubt they're going to do something else that's incredibly dumb next week, so we'll talk about them again.
Cool.
Anyway, that's it with the news, I think, he says, scrolling up and down like some kind of idiot. Yes, it is.
But
it's your it's time for your favorite bit, Cole Man.
Points of interest.
Many interesting points are listed herein. So
yeah. So
walk us through these interesting points.
Walker, like the walkers of The Walking
yes,
Dead.
Yes, I expect you to Texas Ranger the snot out of this.
Yeah, and all the walkers. All right. So the Steam Link has been discontinued. You may have heard this was announced last week.
I missed out on getting one for £2, which I was actually quite sad about.
Yeah. I think I bought one and gave it away instantly, but there we go. Yeah, but you can, there's many apps that will allow you to use the Steam Link, and also you can turn your Raspberry Pi into one if you're that desperate for a Steam Link. But it seems that they'll still be supporting the physical Steam Link while they're supporting, working on the app version of it as well. But if you can get one for cheap, then might be worth doing so.
I mean, just to be clear, so like the app presumably is like smart TVs, et cetera, et cetera.
Smart TVs, mobile phones, laptops, that's the idea moving forward. Plus, they're working on like 4K streaming rather than 1080, which is the limit on the physical versions.
But all of it's in beta at the moment, so apparently like the latency is not quite as good as with the actual physical bit of hardware. But, you know, a kind of a... I think they're saying you need a Raspberry Pi 3... B or a 3B plus, so the latest ones. But you know, even so, Raspberry Pi costs you £35 and you do all kinds of stuff on it. So as a tinkerer's project, it's probably not a bad thing.
Pro tip: there's an official Raspberry Pi magazine, and whenever they launch a new version, you buy that magazine and you get a free Raspberry Pi with the magazine. It's usually about £7.
That doesn't make any financial sense at all.
Well, I think they make very limited stock of the magazine.
Now, well, I would as well, like one.
Anywho. Also, the new Nintendo Switch Online weird library of games that they have, like their Netflix type thing, that is going to have new titles added to it by the end of the week, I believe. That's Ninja Gaiden, Wario's Woods, and Adventures of Lolo. No idea what the third one is, but Wario's Woods is fun. Ninja Gaiden is hard as balls, so go challenge
Lolo
yourself.
Lolo is Lulu's dyslexic sister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. Poor Lolo.
Good.
THQ Nordic. They will not be stopped. They will buy every license until they have every mid-tier license ever created.
Well, considering that THQ not that long ago had to sell all of its licenses, this is, you know, it's quite a nice turnaround, I suppose.
They bought Carmageddon now from Stainless Games, which is surprising because... Carmageddon wasn't a huge game when it came out. The only reason it became a collector's item was because there was two versions, the one with all the blood and then the censored one where they turned all the blood green and stopped you being able to run over innocent pedestrians and stuff and change them all for aliens. Then it went away. It had a mobile game that was rubbish. It did a Kickstarter for a game that came out, wasn't that great. And then they released a console version, which was fun for a day. I think that's the kindest I could be with that game. And now THQ Nordic has clearly decided that, I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to take the existing game that came out this year and they're going to port it to everything. And then they'll might work on a new game if they can stop releasing games to not very much money.
Well, yeah, I mean, so they, because they've also recently bought Wreckfest as well, didn't they? Bugbear, which I have bought and is fun. So clearly, and I think those are the guys who were actually behind the original Destruction Derby, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's clearly a driving cars into other things vibe going on at THQ Nordic. So
they want to be the front runners in the genre of car smashy fun times.
Car smashy fun times is where it's at.
I want to see fun for a day as a box quote. Come again.
Yeah.
I mean, we do know the physical publishers. We could ask them very nicely.
Yeah.
Right. Bethesda are still here in some vicinity because the Elder Scrolls Blades, which is their upcoming Elder Scrolls game for mobile and VR, that has now been delayed to early 2019. I think that's just for the mobile ports, though, not the VR port.
Well, that's interesting because they really pushed Elder Scrolls Blades quite hard at the new iPhone event not that long ago. So I don't know whether it's because are they diverting resource to fix Fallout 76 or make it, you know, a game that would look good against its contemporaries in 2006.
Maybe they're like, let's not crap the bed twice very quickly. Let's push this back and make sure it actually launches.
I think you're looking
at
different divisions of Bethesda that are working on both games.
Yeah,
it's just that it's not ready to come out yet, basically.
Yeah, probably.
Simple as that. There's a new Toe Jam and Earl game, which that I think it was a Kickstarter game. Mm-hmm. Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove. It finally has a launch date, coming out on the 1st of March for Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
Huzzah!
I watched the trailer. I'm not particularly impressed. It has a catchy tune on it, but there you go. Toe Jam and Earl, if you didn't know, that was a game that came out on the Mega Drive, Genesis, if you will. It was okay. They released a sequel that wasn't so okay, and then they released an Xbox game that was terrible, and now there's a fourth game. Fun for a day!
Again, can I just say, the good chat continues.
You're welcome.
This episode.
P-A-L.
Good chat.
Great chat. I'm going to upgrade it from good chat to P-A-L. Great chat now.
There might be a new Dragon Age coming across the border at some point. They've been teasing it for a couple of years now. On the BioWare official blog, they've basically said, hey, we've got a Dragon Age games in the works. We've got Dragon Age stuff in the works. We're going to announce it soon. We won't tell you where to look, but it will be coming this month, the news. I'm guessing if you've not seen the Game Awards, because like I say, they're the day after we record, it's probably been revealed at the Game Awards.
Quite possibly.
Excellent.
And speaking of the Game Awards, it appears we're going to get a Crash Team Racing remake or a new version of that game or something, because there is a picture of some orange fluffy dice saying sliding into the Game Awards on, and then the date, and anonymous. I think it's a safe bet that's Crash Team Racing.
Ooh.
Which is like one of the few kart racing games to be as good as Mario Kart, if I remember correctly.
That's a bold claim.
It's a bold claim.
Mate, that is a heck of a claim. Mate.
No, I know a lot of people that do speak of it very fondly, though, in terms of the other, you know, karting game, basically. Mm. But I never played it that much back in the day, I have to admit.
Okay.
Good.
Good.
Back in day.
Back in day.
Back in day. When chicken tastes like chicken.
We're not.
Aye.
Aye.
That's all the
bloody kids nowadays coming over here, stealing our jobs.
It's all the things, Dan.
Bloody scan lines coming over here, nicking our jobs. Getting given up.
Ah, bloody two, bloody right.
16-bed mansions, these scan lines.
I have. They want more than 480 lines of vertical resolution. I'm not quite sure that's right.
Let's carry on before I turn into my granddad, please.
All right, okay.
Oh, that's a bit long for an episode title, unfortunately.
Great chat.
Great chat.
Great chat.
Great chat.
Good chat.
Tibbity toptastic.
Good chat.
Yes. So, should we talk about what we done did played?
Yeah, no. All right. Got a few.
Tim.
Yes.
I understand you've killed that b***h, Sean B.
Yeah, I did forget to talk about
does
this
he
last
say
week.
Does he say the word b***h a lot?
Maybe. I don't remember him particularly saying the word. I'm sure he might have done. But yeah, anyone that doesn't know, I didn't particularly do the elusive targets in the launch of Hitman last time round. So this was my first actual go at an elusive target. I heard a lot about them and just hadn't actually... Yeah, for anyone that doesn't know, you get like a limited chance...
Changed his name to Mr. Bean.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Target Mr. Bean. For anyone that doesn't know, on the elusive targets, you get a limited opportunity to stalk a target and then try and take them out. Once you've actually attempted to try and take them out, you can kind of quit out and reset, but generally if you try to attempt and take them out and once you've attempted to try and actually take out the target, that's it. You're kind of locked in at that point, basically. So you can do a few kind of runs where you just go in and don't try and take anyone down and observe and sort of work out where everyone will be and what's going on in that kind of scenario. The setup is that you're, not you, but Sean Bean is playing the part of a guy called Mark Faber. He's a disgraced Secret Service, I think MI5, known as the Undying because he's like known for faking his own death.
Because he's still alive.
Yeah, well, faking his own death and getting away with it. But that's, you know, a kind of like cheeky nod to the, you know, whole Sean Bean dying and everything kind of thing. But yeah, like it's quite a funny, you know, celebrity target to try and take down in the position. He does just pretty much play Sean Bean being Sean Bean. But yeah, like it's a well done kind of mission. You've got a building, you've got a kind of infiltrate and stuff like that. But the run I went on was quite good. I worked out, and kind of me and a friend were playing through, and we kind of worked out a good way to kind of corner him and take him out, and basically poisoned him so that he went to the toilet and kind of threw up, and then killed him while he was in the toilet.
Oh. Can I just say, I bet you that was an amazing voice session. Right, Sean, what we need you to do is if you could just make animal noises for us, please. That'd be lovely.
There is the option to drown him in the toilet, which meant to take, but then pressed the wrong button and strangled him. But anyway, but then like having done that,
what noise does a dying Sean Bean make? That's what I want to know.
Well, you'll have to have played the level to find out, but you've missed your chance now, I think. Although, yeah, it was a longer window than it was last time. I think it was like 3 weeks you had the opportunity to do this one. Don't know if that's just for the first one or something they're going to do a longer window for the rest of them. I think that would probably be sensible. But, yeah, like, as I said, once I was committed to that run, that's it. Like, I've taken them out now. That is it. Whatever happens, it happens. And then I'm in the toilet, and it's a tiny little room, and I turn around and there's two guards like on the door just outside. I was like, didn't actually check out what was going to happen when he came in here, and didn't expect two guards to be right outside the door. So then that had a massive gunfight, like Heat style, switching weapons, picking up automatic weapons, killing hundreds of guards to fight my way out of the building. Received zero score for doing so, because you get like a minus score for every like innocent life you take out, but survived and got out of the game. So yeah, it was quite cool, Tim. Like it's just interesting that, you know, you have that kind of one limited run and one go at something to try and get through. As I said, you can scope it out a little bit beforehand, but yeah, like I kind of really enjoyed the experience of doing that, and as I said, it was a good one for Sean Bean to be in. But yeah, it was interesting and fun. So yeah,
it
was good.
If he's what. Is he called Mark Father because he's a father bean?
F-A-B-A.
Okay.
As in...
P-A-L.
Fab-b***ed.
Fab-b***ed.
Yeah, very good.
Fab-b***ed.
Good.
Yes.
No?
Good chat. Thanks.
Good chat.
Great.
Great.
So you could say, having successfully completed the mission, that he's now a has-been?
I did write Sean Bean as in B-E-E-N in the agenda, but then you went and made it Mr. Bean anyway. Yeah, yeah.
Was he quite in shape?
I really want to see that as an elusive target.
Now you've said that, yeah, that would be a great elusive target.
when Sean Bean's been working out and like
right.
He's got them firm shoulders, is he a broad bean? If Sean Bean's in the tanning bed for a while, is he a baked bean? If Sean Bean's trying to keep fit, is he a runner bean? Alright, I'm done.
Really glad you're back, Colin.
It's this kind of insight you've missed.
That kind of comedy gold and, you know, laced with gaming knowledge that we've missed.
Alright, Dan.
And the bell.
Talk about Destiny, Dan.
Mainly the bell.
So, chaps, times are at maximum excitement. It's a good time to be alive. Destiny 2 Forsaken.
Oh my god!
The first bit of the annual pass has dropped.
Oh my god!
Oh no, and it's odd.
Oh. I thought you were going to go, and it's alright.
Well, but it's odd. So, okay. Well, first of all, so the whole setup is that there's these secret armories with old super duper weapons in that have been lost in the mists of time. Because there's lots of bad mans in the universe, we need to reopen them again. And there's this mysterious character called Ada 1, there we go.
I remember her from Resident Evil.
Yeah, I know, and she is the mistress, the robotic mistress of the Black Armory.
Ooh.
And you've got to go and reactivate these weapon forges.
Why does an army need a mistress?
Well, because you can have a mistress in charge of an armory, you can have a quarter mistress as well as a quarter master, Tim. What's your problem?
No, I wasn't...
What's your problem, Tim?
Mistress seems like the wrong title for an armory. That's
problem?
All I'm saying.
What is your problem with equal rights? Equal rights in the arms race, Tim. What's your problem with that?
More nothing. Girls
what is your problem with it?
More girls playing video games. Good.
Right. Okay. Good. So it turns out she doesn't. She wants these forges to be reactivated because we like the pew pew guns. In the bit of dialogue you have with her, it turns out she doesn't actually like guardians.
Oh no, that's what you are. What you are playing as?
Oh, that's a shame.
But she lives in the tower. So, like, what are you doing? If you don't like us, why are you living in my basement? What are you doing, love? Which is a bit of a bizarre thing to start off with. So she's the new NPC in the game. There is a new activity called the Forge. There's several forges opening over the course of the coming months for you to bash your head against a brick wall with.
Isn't that when all the planets align and all the portals start opening?
Something like that. Why not?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's do that.
Dark World joke for you there.
Yeah, thanks.
Remember that film? No,
yeah, I do.
Topical.
No.
I've just been rewatching all the Marvel movies. Carry on.
You think, oh, great, brilliant. So she's hands you a quest, thinking, okay, good, I'm going to unlock my first super fun weapon. You do your stuff, you do your things. And then the last step of it is, go to a forge and complete the encounter. But they've managed to set the... So the top power rating you could get before Black Armory came out was 600.
Uh-huh.
The enemies in the armory start at 615 and go up to 630, meaning that it's an absolute mess if you try and clear it. You know, very few people have been able to do so because they've just made the enemies too powerful. And, you know, I could say, all right, fine, it's an endgame bit of content. But you would think, like, hey, here's this new character to unlock all of her bounties and all the extra stuff she brings to the game. You need to clear this encounter. And there's going to be a load of them coming out anyway in the coming weeks. You would have thought you would make it an introductory level, exactly. So here was I thinking, great, brilliant, going to get to play some new content. And actually, all we've been doing, so Kev, who's Kev and Cobb, friend of the show, mm-hmm. Cobb and Rigo, my buddy from Estonia. Rigo. Two, he is from Estonia. He's got a fantastic beard.
Good.
I know. We've just been replaying old content to try and get our power levels up rather than enjoying the new stuff. So I don't quite know what Bungie were thinking. There is a new raid releasing on Friday this week. So I'm assuming that's going to be a similar level of difficulty where it's nigh on impossible unless RNGesus Jesus has blessed you with the ability to actually do anything in it other than just stand there and get shot repeatedly in the face. And so all of the really cool things, like the new weapons to unlock, I can't tell you about because it's behind this bit of content that's too difficult for mere mortals such as myself to actually complete.
Mere mortals such as yourself has thousands and thousands of hours logged playing Destiny.
Yeah, it's try and hook you back into the pattern of playing Destiny with a group of people again so that you stick around for more than just the new gun.
But it's a really bizarre activity because like it's a wave-based thing, okay?
Hello.
And you've got to kill enemies, and certain enemies drop things. You lob into the forge, that charges the forge, blah, 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 blah. But each wave, you've got a hard time limit of 1 minute.
Right.
I could wave easily in a minute.
Yeah.
But, I know you could, Tim.
Not to brag.
Good chat. Good chat, boys. Good chat. Great chat. Sorry, great.
Great chat.
Great chat, pal.
And it's just very odd, and I think a lot of people, I mean, Bungie were messaging saying, put their messaging out saying, hey, don't think of this as a DLC, this is just a bit more.
This is
game.
Just
a
download that you have to pay for.
Yeah, exactly. It's content that is downloadable, it's not downloadable
think
content.
Of it as a patch that we take money from you for.
Yeah, exactly. So it has not been well received by many at the moment, and I think it is because. Due to, what the hell they were thinking. You know, you can't actually play the new content until you've replayed the old endgame content long enough to get to the right level to be able to enjoy the new stuff. Yeah. So Weird choice, Bungo. Weird choice. But I shall report back with tales of me not being able to do anything in Destiny next week.
I do want to hear more companies say, don't think of this as DLC. Think of this as a patch that you've got to pay for.
So, well, there we go. So I'm done.
Good. I'm done. You're done. I do like listening to your voice, Dan.
Thank you. Great chat.
Great chat, man.
Brilliant.
Great chat.
Have I ever used that phrase yet?
Use Cool Story Bro, usually.
Yeah.
Do I? Yeah. Cool Story Bro.
Good.
Right, lovely. Chris. Coleman.
Wow. you named me.
Only because there was the word Chris in the agenda right there.
Oh, God, there is, isn't there?
He's scared.
You can put anything in front of me and I'd read
it. I don't like that. I'm changing that.
Coleman. So, Coleman.
I played a bunch of stuff this week. Well, these last few weeks while I've been away from the... How long? Four shows have I missed? Three shows? Something like that?
84 like shows.
Mm. I've played a few things, mostly which have come out pretty recently. So Tekken's got new DLC. They've got Armor King and Craig Marduk.
Now, is that a patch you pay for? Or is that
is a patch you pay for. Don't think of it as DLC, Dan. Think of it as a patch you pay for.
Okay, fantastic. Good.
Which is a bit annoying because this is the second season of DLC characters. The first was all comprised of characters from different games, which I really liked. The second season, apart from one character, everyone is from the Tekken series that they've just added back in for money, which I'm not too happy with, but they have made enough changes where they're almost like new characters in their movesets and their looks and stuff. So the two new parentheses characters are Armor King, who was introduced in Tekken 1 and has been in every game since, and Craig Marduk, who was introduced in Tekken 4. Craig Marduk, he's a big brute MMA fighter, heavy strikes, big ground and pound style moves. Not really a big fan of him, but I like having him in the roster as something different. Armor King, I'm a King player, so yeah. I do like using Armor King. He plays very similarly to King, but he has some extra special moves and variants on King's initial moves. And also, he can do the Green Mist, which you guys probably won't know that, but in wrestling, especially in Japan, there is a move called the Green Mist where someone will swallow a dye capsule. Well, not swallow it. They'll put a dye capsule in their mouth and pierce it and spit it in their opponent's eyes when the ref isn't looking, and they'll be blinded and they will pin them. And the referee won't notice that someone's covered in paint. So there you go. That's the two new characters in Tekken 4.
Sorry. On behalf of everyone, can I say... What?
Yeah, Japan's a bit crazy for stuff like this. They like to put lots of kind of anime influences and stuff, and they treat their wrestling, or they used to, not so much these days, but their wrestling is more like anime based, superhero based type thing, supernatural. They'll quite often have a guy who's in face paint, and he'll wear different face paint that's darker if he's evil, or lighter face paint if he is good. The same character.
The undercurrents in that are a bit suspicious, aren't they?
No, not like that. It's all innocent.
Jesus.
Like they had a guy called a Jushin Fun. They had this guy called the Great Muta, and he used to fight with face paint on, and he would have like evil Muta, which dark Muta. So when he's evil, he's wearing more darker face paint and stuff.
So if you pissed him off, did you have to wait for like 10 minutes? He's like, hang on. I don't know what you've said. I've just got to put my face on. All right. Just so you know that I'm happy with you. All right.
Kind of that. No, it would be more to do in matches. But there was a particular match where he was fighting this character called Jushin Thunderliger, who is a masked wrestler. And he punched him so hard that the mask broke, and underneath the mask, Jushin Thunderliger had like evil face paint on too. And then he was evil Jushin Thunderliger. And this is the kind of mad stuff that happens in Japanese wrestling. So there you go.
Good.
Anyway, they're two great characters.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up.
They're two characters. They're good additions to the Tekken 7 roster. I don't know why I wrote Tekken 4 there. I think I just had it on my mind because of Craig Marduk. £5 a character.
You just made more work for yourself by reference.
Yeah.
£5 a character?
£5 a character, unless you've got the season pass. Season pass is $24.99, but...
And how many characters do you get in said season pass?
Five.
So you don't even get a... By Grabthar's hammer, that's not
a
savings.
No, but you get extra stuff, like extra costumes and things included with the pass that you wouldn't get if you bought everything individually. They also, with the two new characters, they've announced who the next two characters are, which is Michelle, who's also from the Tekken series, and Negan from The Walking Dead, who is...
Oh, great.
He looks brilliant. They've released gameplay footage of him now, and it's the TV show version. It's I forget, Jeffrey Dean Morgan voicing him, and the way they introduced him was by taking the scene from the TV show where they've got all the characters lined up and he's going to bash someone's head in with his baseball bat, Lucille, and it's all Tekken characters that he's talking to instead of like all the TV show people. So there you go. That looks pretty cool.
Blended.
Red Dead Redemption Online has launched. It's in a beta state at the moment, which means they haven't quite put microtransactions in there yet, but they're coming.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It was like, okay, so there's kind of, compared to the single player game, all the prices of things are quite a bit more expensive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which makes, which kind of implies that there is some real money pay to winage potentially around the corner.
It's the same as GTA Online when that launched. Everyone went, hold on, everything's much more expensive in GTA Online than it is in regular GTA. And
$5,000 for a single bullet.
Yeah, kind of like that. And it seems to be a much slower into getting money. Today, I believe they released a patch, which you didn't have to pay for, that brought more balance to the structure of how you make money and stuff in that game. So I'll have to check out and see how the economy is working now. But when I played a couple of hours and made about $17, which wasn't a lot. And accidentally blew $5 on I'm not sure what, but got really annoyed because I was like, no, wait, I needed that. It's gone.
Dearie me.
But I like the way they've done it. Like, it's got opening credits because they've done like a proper story that you're a prisoner and you break out of prison and then someone hires you to go kill some baddies, basically.
That old chestnut, eh?
Yeah, I'll leave you to, if you're playing the game yourself, check it out for yourself. But there's a proper big story that is happening in Red Dead Redemption Online, which links into this open hub world thing. I don't know how many players you can get in there, but then whenever, much like the original Red Dead Online, within that hub world, you can go into different missions. You can find stranger missions and stuff, which that wasn't in the original, but you can go into like, shootouts and horde modes and things. I think they've got a battle royale mode in there, I heard. I haven't seen it yet.
So the 100 cowboys get parachuted onto an island.
No parachutes.
Yeah, parachutes in those days weren't so good.
But everyone has that
just add to the comedy value, wouldn't it? That add to the excitement and the tension. Am I actually going to get to do anything, or am I just going to be, you know, cowboy meat paste
on
the floor?
Basically, only throwing knives and bow and arrows. So that looks interesting. I'll have to give that a try, because if no one can sharpshoot me from a distance, then I might have a fighting chance. But yeah, I'm really enjoying playing around with it. I played it for a bit. I did a couple of missions on my own. Then I did like a 4-player mission that was fun. Then I was in the open world for a bit. So I hung out in the bar and waited for people to turn up. They did. I was just drunk in the doorway with a bottle of whiskey, waving at them while they were hitching their horses and stuff. And then it was like a posse of 4 or 5
people. Usual post-work behavior for you then, really calm.
And then as they rode up, like, one was still there, so I decided to shoot him in the head, and then I looked at the mini-map.
Reasonable course of action.
Well, I'm testing things out for the good of the show.
Right, okay, good.
Plus, like,
taking one for the team, Colin.
While I'm
good
playing
on
the
you,
regular
sir.
Red Dead Redemption, I want to be good because it's impacting my character and stuff. Online, couldn't give a crap. You know, I'm having fun. And it is fun to grief people in Red Dead. Like, you can lasso someone and drag them behind your horse through the town until they die. Or you could just hogtie them, put them on the back of their horse and drive around, like, just ride around the map and they've got no say in the matter.
Nice.
I shot this guy, and then as I could see all his people are turning around and coming back into town, I decided to pick up his corpse, walk back into the saloon, and then, like, throw him on the floor. It's like, he's with me. I don't know why I did that, but I decided to wait there with their dead friend's corpse while they came back.
Nice.
So there you go.
You are a very odd man.
I've done some things in Red Dead that I don't want to talk about on the show, but I'll have to tell you one day, just because I've been curious and go, I wonder if I can do this. And it turns out you can totally do it, and I feel like a horrible person. So there you go.
I really want to know what some of those are.
Just Cause 4's just come out.
I hear that Just Cause 4 is been getting middling reviews and perhaps is trying a bit too much for contemporary hardware.
I get the criticism. So basically, Just Cause 1 came out, it was fine. Just Cause 2 came out, it was a great, fun mess around simulator. Just Cause 3 came out, had massive technical problems, but was still fun.
Certainly
especially
did.
After they patched everything without charging you. And then Just Cause 4 is now out, and it's pretty much the same as Just Cause 3 and the previous games of it. All the same upgrades and stuff that have been introduced are still there. The big difference is now they've added, well, now it's in a brand new engine. They've added kind of the Fulton Balloons. Yes. You attach balloons to things and they fly off into the air. They've attached those and like a dynamic weather system because the bad guy has a weather machine, like that crap James Bond movie. And he
or Carol Kirkwood.
Yeah, or that film where the guy's got BBC News. The satellite and they're weaponizing the weather. I've forgotten what that one was called. Came out recently.
Anyway. Geostorm.
Geostorm. Thank you, Tim.
Wow.
That was a bad film.
That
anyway,
was a good, bad film.
Really? That amazes me that that was a bad film, Coleman.
Go have yourself a laugh and watch some Geostorm.
Is it so bad it's good, though? Is it just straight up bad?
I don't know. I think it might be in the so bad it's good category.
I think it's good. If you are aware of certain tropes in film, then... Like, this one has a lot of them. So it's good to go through of like a checklist and tick them all off. I don't know. Someone really wanted to be the guy who made Independence Day and failed horribly. Anyway, so the point of this is the main bad guy in this, rather than be a dictator of a country, which is usually the case in these games, he is a dude who owns like a big machine that can weaponize weather. That's why there are so many tornadoes in this game, because he just throws them at will.
So you're fighting the weatherman.
You're fighting the weatherman. And I haven't come across a tornado yet. I've only played a couple of hours of the game myself. But they do look fun. I'll have to report back when I have successfully wingsuited myself into a tornado and try to fly up and see what happens. There's a kind of new dynamic in all the modification weapons and things. You can attach different gizmos and stuff to your weapons and to your the hookshot thing you've got. You know what I'm talking about. And you can get them to do different actions or things. So you fire your rope at something, it latches on, and it will stick one of those balloons to it. You can do that a few times, and then I've changed it so if I hit up on my D-pad, all of a sudden they'll inflate really fast and then just shoot off into the air, whatever they're holding. Which is really fun because you can put them all around. You can find a giant satellite dish, put a load of balloons around the outside of it, stand in the middle, and then, whoosh, off into the sky you go. I laughed my ass off doing that. Sorry, carry on then.
I have a question. Can you do that to a la Metal Gear?
You can do that to humans.
But can you also do it to unsuspecting woodland animals?
I haven't seen any animals yet. And I'm assuming you can, because in Just Cause 3, I successfully managed to tether two cows to a helicopter and fly around while I was doing a live stream in absolute hysterics. Especially when someone in the comments wrote something like, I think said, you're really raising the stakes. I was like, oh, such a good one. I love that.
Oh, it's so bad. I love it.
So I'm really looking forward to messing around in this game more. If you aren't particularly interested in the Just Cause games, if you've played them, can't really get into them, there's nothing here for you. If you have played them, enjoyed them, really felt that Just Cause 3 like needs a lot more to add on for you to carry on with these series, I don't think this is for you either. If you just like a mess around open world simulator that you can really, really mess around in, this is really worth it. It doesn't particularly, like, especially in cutscenes and stuff, all the character models look really weird. It looks like they've tried to make them all high res and 4K and stuff, but it just doesn't succeed on the console. Don't know how it looks on the PC. But just the actual open world, gliding, parachuting,
messing around.
Yeah, attaching these together, blowing things up, super fun. Can't recommend it enough.
Cool.
Is it worth a full price buy though?
Depends. I think there are many, many worthy games this year at the moment that are worth buying over Just Cause 4, so it's going to be completely down on your taste.
I'm worried this might get a bit lost in the crowd with Christmas and with the last game being, a technical thing that might turn a few people off.
But it's all right. It's all right because they've got a Christmas-themed expansion coming up.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Just Claus.
Ah, I thought you had the exclusive, Dan.
What?
I thought you had the exclusive. But Just Cause 4 didn't do too well, and they ended up putting it on PS Plus. Sorry, Just Cause 3 didn't do too well, and they ended up sticking it on PS Plus. So it's not all bad. Swings and roundabouts.
Yep. Yeah.
Lastly, I have played Pokemon. I have bought and played the holy hell out of Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu.
Ooh.
Because I went to go...
Because you loved the Pokemans back in the day, didn't you?
I used to love them, and then I kind of soured on them over the years, and I keep trying to get back into them and can't get back into them. And
it's because you're a grumpy old man. Yeah, welcome to being a grumpy old man.
Did this succeed in converting you back into the man-child you secretly wish you still were?
Love this game. And it was such a weird thing as well. I had no interest in this game. I had no intention of picking it up. It's like a dumbed down version of the original Pokemon games, but they like a remaster.
Look at you getting on your high horse.
Well, it is.
Back when I was a lad, they were highbrow Pokemon games. None of this nonsense, this watered down tosh.
So do you remember the Pokemon mobile game, the Pokemon Go?
Pokemon Go.
Yeah. It's basically taking Pokemon that system Go. And putting it in the original Pokemon games, but doing them as a remaster. So it's this beautifully crafted version of the very first Pokemon games, more specifically Pokemon Yellow, because you've got a Pikachu that talks and can ride on your shoulder and stuff, and it's cute. Taking all that, and then instead of going out and hunting Pokemon and then weakening them to submission and then throwing the Pokeball at them, you're just lobbing Pokeballs at them like you would in Pokemon Go. None of that appealed to me. And then I went to go buy Diablo, and this was next to it, and for the same price, and I went, I'm going to buy Pokemon. Come on, let's do this. I'm going to buy Pokemon. A lot of people are playing it. It seems to be going down well, and I'm really glad I did. All the dumbed down stuff, it doesn't really matter. It's still a fun game. If you've ever enjoyed the original Pokemon games, if you like Pokemon Blue or Red, or Green if you're in Japan, why are you listening to this in Japan? Or Yellow, then the original Game Boy games, then this is worth picking up, especially just because it's this beautifully recreated version of a childhood game. This is something I played when I was 13. And I'm 34 playing this game now, going, this is so good. I love this. And it's now my YouTube game as well. It's got some motion control stuff, so if you're hooked at home, you can throw Pokeballs using the Joy-Con, or there's a special Pokeball controller you can buy if you so wish. I'm playing it mostly in handheld mode because that's where I prefer to play. So all the motion stuff's taken out in favor of button prompts. I am much more preferring a button prompt than lobbing a fictitious ball at my screen. So there you go.
I'm disappointed you didn't buy the ball version, yep. Coleman. Disappointed.
It's £45, Tim.
Have you had any near-death experiences as a result of you trying to catch all the mans on a tube platform yet?
No, because I don't play the game on the tube platform, but it's not like Pokemon Go where you're chasing them down in real life and using GPS. It's a game. It's an RPG that has those mechanics added in just for the...
So there's no kind of like wandering about...
No. And there's
in the real world.
Can't you hook it up to the mobile games?
There's a couple of interesting additions made to it. So they seem to take things out and then add something new in there. So they've taken away the PC. In every Pokemon Center, there'd be a PC. That's where you digitally transfer your Pokemon to. And it was basically like a bank system for all your surplus Pokemon if you were trying to catch all of them. That's all removed. They've taken out the PCs. In place of them, you just carry all the Pokemon on you, and it's fine. It's much easier doing that. They've taken out the Safari Zone, which was a weird park in the game that I couldn't figure out how to use, but that's where you'd find a load of Pokemon you couldn't capture in the wild of the game. You can only capture in this specific section through a series of throwing rocks at Pokemon and then catching them in Safari Balls. Never worked out how to do it. Still don't know how I got half the Pokemon I did back in the day. They've taken that out completely and replaced it with Pokemon Go Park. So if you've catched certain Pokemon in Pokemon Go that are in the original 150 Pokemon, you can transfer them from your mobile game to the Switch game, which is really cool. But at the same time, you can't transfer them back. So it's a one-way trip. So if you want to send things over, you've got to make sure it's something you don't particularly want to keep in Pokemon Go. But the really cool thing about that is in Pokemon Go, you have shiny Pokemon, which are something that's introduced in later games, and you have Alolan Pokemon, which are the... like Hawaiian type versions of Pokemon from Sun and Moon of the original Pokemon. So they have all these variants that weren't in the original game.
Hawaiian Pokemon. Yeah,
there's the Alolan Islands. They're basically themed off Hawaii. So if you caught one of those and you transfer that over to the Switch, they do appear as they do in the later games. So you get this 150 Pokemon plus variants that weren't originally available in the game. But that's only through Pokemon. Pokemon Go. So that's a cool thing for people who play Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it. All the additions are really fun. It's a beautiful looking game. If you buy the Pikachu version, you have Pikachu as a pet and he follows you and then sits on your shoulder and stuff. If you get the Eevee version, then it's the same but with Eevee. You can dress up your Pikachu or Eevee. That's pretty Sweet.
Haven't I seen, like, I think I've seen footage of people riding Pokemon at
Yes, and that's really cool as well. If you've got a big enough Pokemon, you can ride it, which, depending on the type of Pokemon you have. At the moment, I've got a Persian that is like a big cat. You can ride that, and he's a lot faster than walking. But there's things like, if you've got a Snorlax, you can technically ride a Snorlax, but it's slow, and you're not really riding it, you're hugging its belly while it walks very, like, waddles along with you and your Pikachu.
There is all kinds of bizarre slash fit stuff going on, isn't there?
Yeah, but if you've got, like, a Charizard, you can ride a flying Charizard. That's pretty cool. Yeah, the ride system was introduced in Pokemon Sun and Moon, I think, and now they've brought it into the older game. So that's a really nice thing. For all the changes they make, for all the things they've taken out, they've put newer things in, and I think it works out really, really well. If you're like me and you've not been able to get into Pokemon since the original games and just struggled, it may not be because you're old and cynical. It may be just because you like those games and you want to go back to them, this is a really good game to go pick up. The same if you played Pokemon Go and you've never played the original games, this is probably one for you. Or if you've got kids, you know, this is clearly a game for them. I'm picking this up for my friend's daughter, actually, for Christmas, because she really likes Pokemon, and she likes Pokemon trading card game, and she likes Pokemon Go, but she's never had a Pokemon game, so this is a perfect purchase for her. But yeah, awesome. It's recommended.
Fun for all of the family. Yeah. Good for families. Yay, families.
Good chat, pal.
Great chat, guys.
Stupendous chat, guys.
Oh, mate, I'm not sure I'm quite there. I think you've got to go. You go great chat, and you go spiffing chat.
Spiffing is on your scale as well. I see. I don't think spiffing was on mine and Chris's
stupendous
scale.
Stupendous
spaffing, maybe.
Is spaffing. Yeah. I think we're at a spiffing. We're not at a stupendous chat just yet.
If we were chatting about like a sugar coated corn cereal, would we say great chat, guys?
Well, obviously, that's how this works. Colin.
No, that was a chat right there. That's an example of the other end of the spectrum. That was a chat.
Speaking of which,
good.
Should probably end this show.
Yeah.
Mm.
Put it out of its misery.
Doing the things we do at the end of the show.
How did we manage to have a more stilted kind of broken up show with three of us than we did with two of us for 2 weeks? Anyway.
Because I slipped into a coma when you were talking about Tetris for 18 hours one time.
That was last week.
Oh, but what was it?
You just woken
really
up.
It seemed... Yeah, exactly. I've just come to.
That's your business. What you do in your own home while we're podcasting is up to you.
Yes, I sleep and wake up in my own home. That's perfectly normal behaviour, Tim.
I sleep on the tube a lot.
Yeah. Do you?
Not by choice.
Is it just because your brother got dibs on the roundabout?
Yeah, partly that. No, I travel a lot around London, so I sleep.
You travel. I do a lot of travelling business. Northern Nine Piccadilly. I've been on all of them.
District Central. Oh, I love them. The second home. Yep.
Anyway, Tim.
Yes.
Tuesday
is indeed.
Tell me about the Tuesdays.
Tuesday was only yesterday this week, so it seems even earlier to be talking about next Tuesday. But still.
Your mastery of the 7-day calendar never ceases to amaze me, Tim.
Next week, on the 11th of December, we are having a game called Nine Worlds. Anyone that doesn't know each and every
the
week...
Nine Worlds line for the convergence. The portals will open to the dark world.
More Thor for you, yeah?
Thor.
More Thor. Anyway, right, yeah. Anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday, we hold an event called Tabletop Tuesday. We have a different board or card game every week. And if you play that game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the night. This week's game, as I said, is a game called Nine Worlds. It's kind of area control game, obviously Norse mythology kind of themed. I really kind of look at the mechanics, and I think the theme is going to go down well with people, so I think this should be a good one. We ended up having Animal Upon Animal last week, which was a silly kids game, but that went down really well, and yeah, it was a good night, so thanks a lot for everyone that came along for that. Anyone that wants more details, you can join us in the loading bar in Dalston at 8 p.m, or you can check out more details on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, or search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com and join our popular group there.
Tabletop Tuesday at the Dalston Bar in London. Loading. Boom.
Indeed. The 11th of December, a day natural living in for me. I've decided, because why not? So yes, anyway, that's your lot for this week, pretty much. But not before we say thank you to a few people. Oh, no, heck, goodness, no. There's been lots of fantabulous chat. On the internet, and people said nice things to us. So from the Twitters, I would like to say thank you to Nelly and Bamford, who admits to being torn between Team Tim and Team Dan.
By me.
Because there's some great PSVR games out, but also a new Destiny expansion. It's not technically an expansion. It's a patch that you pay for, all right?
And Smash Brothers is out soon, so Team Coleman, you know?
I'm going to go jump in a wingsuit in VR. I'm quite excited. Anyway.
Eh?
What?
There's a wingsuit game that's just come out.
I've just got this image of you standing on your sofa, arms stretched out, and then jumping, and then just face-planting onto the floor, going, oh, if only I could go outside for real.
No, what I want is a giant fan.
I just want to be a real boy.
Giant fan that I stick below my couch and then jump into that.
My first VR, Oculus Rift VR experience was with a wingsuit game for the DK1. At EGX, where I sat down, and the guy went, he put the thing on me, and immediately
instantaneously threw up.
Well, I got this red line around my eyes because they just put so much rubbing alcohol, sterilizing alcohol around there. It burnt my skin.
Oh, Jesus.
You're a delicate little flower, right, Coleman?
I said, I'm prone to travel sickness, and I hear that's not a good thing for VR. So, how do I take the thing off? He goes, just put your hand up if you've got a problem. Within 10 seconds, I'll say, I had my hand up. Like, help!
Both hands up!
I'm going to be sick! Help!
Excellent.
Wingsuit VR.
Good.
I was not Rico Rodriguez that day.
I think it was a game called Rush, but anyway.
On Facebook, thank you to Freya Goddard, who said, Spider Coleman, leaving podcast duties this week for Tim and Dan.
That worked.
It works.
It works.
I didn't leave the podcast duties. I still edited the damn thing.
Exactly.
He did the important bits still.
I just didn't do the hour work. I did the multiple hours that followed.
Yes.
Thank you, Coleman.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Coleman.
Who needs
Coleman?
He makes the magic happen.
That's what I tell my girlfriend.
Really? And what does she say? No, you don't.
No. It's your girlfriend, Debbie McGee.
Stop trying to make me sleep on the tube.
Why can't it be like your rich brother and have a roundabout that you live in?
Oh, I'm going to tell him this at Christmas.
I think he'll just be glad that we didn't repeatedly talk about him playing with dolls for all of his live long days.
Right. Hey, Colin, you know Big Red Barrel? What's that? The podcast I'm on. Oh, you're still doing that? Right, okay. Anyway, Dan says
great
you're a
chat, Colin. Great Dan, chat.
Dan says you're a troll that lives on a roundabout playing with dogs. Anyway, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Carry on.
That's it for shout-outs. That's it for Tabletop Tuesdays. That's it for Stuff We've Done Played. That's it for Points of Interest. And it's it for the news. So we're going to go now, and I'm going to go and play some Destiny 2.
I hear there's a patch out.
Yeah, I hear it's
really
not very good.
I had to pay for it, mate.
Ah.
Yeah, great chat.
Don't think of it as DLC, though.
No.
Okay.
Good. We are glad we cleared that up.
Good.
Great chat. Good.
Good.
Well, we're going to go now, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you once again for downloading us and listening to us and putting us in your face head. We really greatly appreciate it. And make sure you go to www.bigredbarrel.com, facebook.com/bigredbarrel, twitter.com/bigredbarrel, internet.thing.net/bigredbarrel. All of those work, especially the last one. So come say hello.
Yeah. Questions to the Facebook, the Twitter, the Discord, anywhere you want.
Yes. And if you want to come say hello on Discord... we have our own server. Come to bit.ly/discordbrb and you'll come and that'll give you an invite link and you can come and chat with us and stuff.
Good.
Splendid. All right. Well, without further ado, it's just my turn to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been Coleman.
You certainly have.
Yes.
Doesn't Dan usually say
yes,
that?
Yes, you were.
I know, it's good to have you back, though.
Certainly have, yes you were.
I found it bearable having you back, Colin. Thank
bearable.
You.
Okay.
I found it bearable.
I'll let you know something for nothing. I'm back next week, too.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Regular really? Scheduled.
It's become a thing, Dan.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like I'm one of the hosts or something.
No, I know, right?
Yeah. Great chat, guys. Great chat. Great.
All right. Well,
chat.
On that note, we're going to disappear. And until next time, dis listeners.
Until next time, dis listeners. Toodle boy.
Toodle boy. So thank you very much for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
Your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.